I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, 7 a.m., bright and early. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Mailsack! Get to that in the final hour of the radio program. Mailsack questions are welcome at 503-864-6326. An hour from now, I don't know if you guys have heard, we have a guest.
What? We have one today?
We do.
You booked somebody for the show today?
Now, let me tell you who it is.
Yeah, who do we got?
George Wrighster.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Former Oregon Duck.
Yes.
Current media member. Going to be on the CW coverage as well.
I did not see that. Good for him.
Yeah, he's a studio.
Studio guy?
And he's a studio guy.
Nice, man. That's awesome.
So good stuff for George Wrighster. He's going to join us at 8:04 a.m. We will talk about the peekaboo of the Big Ten Media Days and dive into the college football landscape, which is not that far away from camps kicking off and a few weeks out from our first week zero game. A loaded second hour of the radio program, and we will talk local Trailblazer based news.
Hey.
Because yesterday we got a report.
Yeah, their good is gone. It's over. See you later. Kalamazoo Blazers is happening.
We had a lot of people, Aaron Glenn dancing on a blocked field goal, only to lose the game and then not tweet the rest of the day.
That is such a good analogy.
I was going to say a Dion high step, but it's not.
It's got to be in a loss. Dion usually only did it in dubs.
And he got that touchdown.
And there he was the one scoring the touchdown, so I will allow it. Aaron Glenn was dancing on the sideline, and they went 1-15.
He did like a Dion robot. Like, he did like a high step.
See, I told you. They're leaving. Wait, there's two follow-ups? I'm not going to respond to those follow-ups because they fly in the face of my narrative.
I would legitimately like to ask certain media members in this market that love to jump on the Blazer leaving train for clicks. I'd love to ask, why did you respond to the beginning that they weren't going to meet and then not respond to anything the rest of the day when it was announced they were going to meet?
Our guy Jason Quick had three different reports last night.
He sounded
all very different reports.
The way he tweeted, it sounded like somebody exhausted.
Like, I put this piece out. I called you. I gave you 2 days to call me back, and you didn't call me back. Now you're calling me back now? What the hell's happening?
By the way, poll question is up from hour one. We had a lot of fun in the first hour. The poll question is up. Should a college football program be allowed to count a national title from 1869? The Rutgers Scarlet Knights do, evidently.
They do. Yes, I'm aware that they invented college football. Good for them. Titles in 1869 don't count.
Oh, did they invent college football?
That's the whole
football?
Thing about Rutgers, is they invent, it's the birthplace of college football, man.
Oh.
I remember that being a thing when they had that random year they reached number two in the rankings with Ray Rice, and it was like, look
just
at that.
Just because you invent it don't mean you should be crowned the champion.
No. How many teams were playing college football in 1869?
Did they do a playoff in the 1800s?
No, they did not.
Probably not.
No title counts before 1998. We all know that.
Yeah. I mean, also played against all whites. Got this one from our buddy Ryan Clark.
Mm-hmm.
A story from NJ.com. Rutgers has dug a $500 million hole since joining the Big Ten.
Ooh,
where did the money go?
How about you being right there? Just shut it down,
don't
Rutgers.
Have a football program.
We don't need you in the
Say
Big Ten.
Say we invented it, and we're exiting now.
Oregon's been in the Big Ten for like 17 seconds, and they have more conference championships than you do, okay? Why don't we just pack it up and go home?
Why don't you get a natty? All right, let's step into the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
It's a great response.
It's a great menu today.
Yeah, it's on the menu.
Special's pretty classic, dude. Meat lover scramble with toast.
I'm in.
Wheat toast.
I am absolutely in.
Yeah,
me too. Can I do a side of bacon? Can I add a side of bacon to your special? I just like a little more meat on my meat.
It's a meat lover.
I'm well aware of that. I like side meat. I like main meat and side meat.
Okay.
Because it's good to have meat mixed in with the scramble.
Might have a side of squirrel today.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Eddie's been eating those things, man.
I got to be honest. You dropping in once in a while is throwing me off because it's just like...
We got a weird energy from Swigarden today.
We do get a weird energy.
I don't know what's going on
I'm
over there.
I'm in a good mood.
I know. I'm not saying you're in a bad mood. It just, you know.
Although, to give you an idea, I was cutting audio up when I got in. He comes in. He's like, hey. You can tell I'm doing audio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were listening, and I didn't want to start talking over what you were listening to.
And then I asked him to pull a couple things for the cafe that I had forgot, but he slowly just starts turning around, and he's walking out, and then the door's closed. He goes, okay.
He just gives you a...
Well, you were focused.
What's going on?
You look like you were focused. I did not want to interrupt your train of thought.
That's just always my face. I got to be honest with you. That's just always my face. But the cafe... is alive and buzzing. Let's start with good news. One for Andy Johnson.
Oh.
High drive to left.
Did we win last night?
Oh, my God. It is out of here.
We hit a home run in a game?
You did.
And it's 3-0.
Was it Grant McCray?
It was.
Six. His first hit of the year.
Grant
first
McCray.
Hit of the year. BC Sports. Bay Area, I'm going to ask you a question.
There's a connection to Grant McCray in Portland I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Ron McCray.
No, his dad ran through
That's right. His dad was the one. Remember the famous guy who
Rodney
ran through?
McCray.
Who ran through the fence at Civic Stadium back in the day, that famous highlight. That's his dad.
Rodney. I'm not going to linger long on this
You
team.
Don't need to.
How many wins do they have after beating the Brewers last night? 3-0.
I will say, what are we, about 110 games into the season, just shy of that?
I'll tell you exactly how many games you guys have played.
Okay, how many?
You've played 106.
I'll say 43. Close? Am I close?
You shortchanged your team. 45.
How dare I doubt them? You know what they say. Epic comeback starts right now.
Order up. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on a changeup. The ball game's over. The Rangers have won it 7-3. They take the series 3-1, and they have clinched the season series over Seattle. They have won 7 out of 10 for the Mariners.
105-3, the Fan in Dallas. Rangers take 3 of 4 from the M's. The M's now 2.5 back in that crap fest of a division.
And I think they're behind the Astros.
They are a half game back of the Stros, 2.5 back of the said Texas Rangers.
Are you telling me
won the season series?
My baseball team's only 7 games behind the Mariners. Is that what you're telling me? We're only 7 back?
We might catch
Seattle.
You've given up on the year and you're only 7 behind.
We only have 7 fewer wins than you?
Yeah.
You suck! Get above 500 and I'll pay attention to you.
Well,
I mean, this is stupid. The winner of the AL West, if you're below 500, should not. Have we ever had a division winner in baseball below 500?
Didn't we have this with the Mariners 1 year in that division?
I think it's close, but I don't know if
they were
below 500.
No. The teams in Texas is above 500.
Can we pass a constitutional amendment? Sub 500 teams are not allowed in the playoffs.
What are we doing here?
In every sport.
I mean, yeah.
The NBA playing, like, why is the 10 seed here? You're below 500. That's the bare minimum of making the postseason.
A little bit of a lengthy one coming up, but worth it all because, man, wild things happened in a Detroit Tiger game.
Order up!
Well, uh-oh. Squirrel. Ward. Squirrel, look out, actually. Squirrel's just hopping around. Taylor Ward. Somebody please tell the squirrel that Dylan Beavers is out of the game.
Does he know the playing surface?
And down the stretch he comes, the squirrel getting to the finish line, but he doesn't know where it is. He'll stop, he'll look, he'll glance, he'll glare. If you're looking for an illuminated warning track to take you to the exit, it's not happening here tonight. The squirrel is on the move. The door is open.
I'm not coming out.
No, take everyone's life advice. When a door opens, run through it. The standoff is on. I'm not leaving. I'm staying for the stunning conclusion of this game. The squirrel is fleeing the exits. And now there's the bulldog that he has to contend with. Now the squirrel's on the field. Now the squirrel is an active participant in the festivities. The squirrel is on the field. The squirrel is on the field. Squirrel is out of the baseline, however. The chase for the squirrel is on, and the squirrel is in the corner, and the squirrel is still eluding an entire horde of grounds crew members, and the squirrel's free once again. Hemmed in? No, I won't be hemmed in. I have freedom on my mind. Trying to go between the legs, and eventually he gets away again and hops through the towel. And hops through another towel. The force field is activated. Towels can't stop him, or maybe they can.
I love the booing of removing a squirrel.
Yeah, come on, let him run around, let him play.
A triple crown possibility.
Jason Benetti, Tigers Television there.
Phenomenal.
We had a squirrel live during the game.
Now, have you ever seen a black squirrel before?
I had not. I thought it was a weasel when I saw the video at first.
Yeah, it did not look like a squirrel according to our knowledge and understanding of
a
squirrel.
I think that's a weasel.
You think it's a weasel?
No, that was a black squirrel.
No, that's not real.
You think they'd exist?
Weasels are much longer.
That was a pretty long lengthy.
But they don't have, I don't think.
Look like a ferret.
Yeah, that's not a squirrel.
Ferret vibe to it.
You've never seen a black squirrel.
I've never seen a black squirrel.
They're not real. Have you seen any other colored squirrel that's not brown?
Brown or gray?
I've seen gray.
Yeah, gray and brown. That's it.
Black squirrels do exist.
Nah, there's no way.
There you go.
But they are not a separate species. By the way, no team below 500 outside of a shortened season has ever made the playoffs.
There you go.
I like the idea of trading Tarik Skubal, and yes, that sounds madness-like because he's won the Cy Young 2 years in a row. But here's the thing that gets a little lost. The Detroit Tigers have a really good rotation. They have a very good rotation. And of course, they're better with him, but at the same time, what can you get back for Tarik Skubal? Everything under the sun. You can get prospects. You can get a pitcher now who could help you. So you add the guys like Casey Mize. You got Montero in there. All of a sudden, you have a lot of pieces and then more depth because Skubal will garner a lot more pitching. You'll get some more arms. So, you know, we'll see how they play it out because these games right up until the trade deadline are going to dictate whether they're trying to win a division or not, and that's going to make a difference in their decision-making. But Skubal can really give you a lot of assets back, whether you keep them or you don't.
There's Doug Glanville, ESPN, saying, I would trade Tarik Skubal, who's 7-5 with a 2.7. ERA.
I mean, to his point, they are, I believe, fourth in the league in runs allowed this season, second in the American League. The Yankees, I believe, are the only American League team better than them. You got the Brewers and their dynamite pitching staff. In the great year that they're having, they're slightly ahead of them. The Dodgers, obviously, at this point in the year.
Why are teams so quick to want to, like, abandon ship?
Well, here would be my sense on it. I would have signed Tarik Skubal to an extension 2 or 3 years ago.
Sure.
I would not have let this thing run
they
out.
They fought him in arbitration.
Exactly. And now you're to the point where even if you put an offer in front of him that is fair this offseason, does he want to play for your organization anymore?
I don't know.
I don't know what he wants. But I put myself in his shoes and I think, now you want me to re-sign? They fought him in arbitration and then went out and signed one of the most expensive pitchers on the open market in free agency arguing Skubal, who is a better pitcher, did
shouldn't
not deserve
$30 million
that amount of money. Like, I don't know how you recover from that. And so I see the point from Glanville. I don't think he's going to re-sign there. Again, I don't know what his desires are ultimately when he is able to hit free agency. But you're going to get a haul for him. You're 50-57. The division is open, but you have not been good this year. I wouldn't be opposed to it if I were a Tiger.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I think, plan is to be back in 11-on-11, full team drills tomorrow or Wednesday when we start up practice. So be out there with the guys, excited to get back rolling. But feeling good and rehab's been good to this point. Still some work to do as we get ready for week one, but feeling really good with where I am.
You're in 11-on-11 on Wednesday. So we're talking day one of training camp. We are full go. We're doing the entire, we're all over everything, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Did he have a what happened there?
I think he was trying to do
Tourette's. I mean, I don't know what that is. That's Daniel Jones of the Pat McAfee Show.
Danny Dimes.
Red 85.
It's pretty crazy, dude. Like, we've been here with the ACL. It feels like we're here with the Achilles of, like, this is no longer a year and a half thing for most male athletes.
No.
This is.
Is there a difference for you between football and basketball, guys? I feel like in basketball there is a push to be far more cautious. And maybe it's just because of the situation.
I think it's the way you're using your legs.
Right? And it just seems in the court, in the grass, I'm sure different circumstances and
surfaces. Daniel Jones can just cut down on his quarterback running.
Yes. Stand in the pocket and deliver the ball.
Yeah, and, like, fall on the ground. Don't take big hits if you can. But
right.
basketball, you're jumping and you're running.
You can't stop.
You can't. I mean, there's no way. So it is different, but it's still crazy.
He was in, what, week 9, I want to say?
Week 8?
It was, yeah, it was in the second half of the year. To tear your Achilles, everybody thought he's out for at least half the year this year.
Well, Kittle is on the pup list, but there's a lot of people think he's going to be back before the midway point. And I'm like,
wild,
that happened
dude.
In a playoff game.
That is absolutely wild.
I don't get it.
If he's back that quickly. Or even in, hell, I'll even extend it by any time in September if you're playing football games. That's wild.
How do you mold, you know, how do you make your vision come to life within the framework of all the things that have been here is probably easier said than done. And we want to encourage him to keep, you know, bringing his vision to life and his, you know, being himself. And like I said, with the guys that we brought in from you know, Thomas and the guys from Baltimore, it's like, hey, we brought you in for a reason, and like contribute the way that you see fit and be a part of this thing. And he's done that. So it's been great. It's been great. And I've learned a lot from him. You know, there's a lot of things that we're doing, you know, post-snap and how we're teaching detail in terms of the run game and the pass game after we catch, what we do with the ball, things that I definitely haven't heard the way explained like that. And I think it's going to be a huge benefit for us. And then when we get into game planning and stuff, I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a new process for all of us. You know, we've done some simulations, but there's nothing like till you get into the fight. And he's just been great to work with. You know, he's a problem solver. He thinks three-dimensionally. He's communicated really well, so all those things have been really fun to work with.
There is Mike McDonald, day one Seahawk training camp on new OC Brian Fleury, who is trying to make his way in as the new play caller. Seahawks losing a couple coaches, but day one Seahawk camp, new OC.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the more interesting storylines, I think, for them. They obviously have a great defensive-minded head coach. I think their team is built around how good their defense is and how stout they are up front, which is a great way to be built, but they also had a really good offensive coordinator last year who immediately got a head coaching job after, what, I think he was the OC for 1 year in New Orleans and then 1 year in Seattle, so a pretty short run as an OC, if I remember correctly, and jumping to a head coaching job. And when you have a defensive-minded head coach, this is always the thought of. You might have a bit of a revolving door at OC, but if you hire the right guy, it doesn't matter if they're there for 2 years because it worked out for you. They hit last time. Kubiak had some framework in the Shanahan 49ers offense. They went with a similar guy. Seems like a lot of the verbiage and a lot of the thought process is the same, but, you know, similar to anybody else who has to replace coordinators, it is a question until you see it and how it looks on the field.
Mike Lombardi clearly is Bill Belichick's right-hand guy. He's his hand-picked personnel guy. Mike Lombardi announced he was leaving to go to North Carolina seconds after Adam Schefter and I sent the tweet about his hiring at North Carolina. Bill Belichick has been a staunch Mike Lombardi supporter throughout. Lombardi has bounced around the NFL prior. He's a divisive guy. He's been fired at multiple places. And look, this is a key part of Bill Belichick's college football operation. In the wake of that 4-8 season last year, where Mike Lombardi did pick the players with Bill Belichick, this certainly does not loom well for Bill Belichick and his tenure moving forward, especially because this is his hand-picked general.
That's Pete Thamel on Mike Lombardi's dismissal at UNC. Over under 7.5 games coached by Bill Belichick this season for UNC.
Ooh, I will say over. I think it's just because
they're confident there.
I think it's just because they're incompetent and they wait to fire him.
Yeah.
There's like a weird, like, we don't want to disrespect a legendary
coach.
Let the season play out. We have no hope anyways. And then after the season, thank you, sir, for your efforts. Did I also read correctly yesterday that they're under NCAA investigation too? I think Pablo Torre reported that the College Sports Commission, which handles the compliance and the NIL stuff, they have opened up an inquiry into North Carolina football.
I'd venture to guess Bill Shocking. Belichick hates, legitimately, Pablo Torre.
Yes, I think at this point he's probably public enemy number one. Dartboard in the office, face of Pablo Torre on it.
Order up!
What are we doing here? We're talking about him winning multiple more titles? What kind of preposterous situation? His legacy is established. It's set. It's done. What about three? Why not four? Why not five? Why not six? Why not 12? What?
They tried that in Miami. It didn't work.
I love Charles. He's such a value add to the sport. Talking about him adding two titles, I hate this about the NBA.
Amen, brother.
I hate this. I hate that it's like, let's get our fingers out and let's start counting. One, two, nope. Three is no good. Four.
Yep.
Four is good. Not good enough. Five, what about seven? What about nine? What about 16?
Not good enough.
I hate it. I hate this discourse.
I mean, 16
so
would
much.
Be good enough, though.
I hate that we are seeing something so refreshingly unbelievable that LeBron would join the Philadelphia 76ers. None of us saw this coming. Give us this gift of playing potentially like 15 or 18 like amazingly delicious matchups this year. Think of those games with Boston. Think delicious. Of those games with the Lakers. Think of those games with the Cavs and the Knicks and the Heat and the Warriors. Like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And it's like, nope. He needs 2, 3, 7, 12, 37. Like, I hate this so much about the NBA that it's about counting championships. I don't want to be a part of it. I want to opt out. I'm done talking about it. What are we doing here?
Brian Windhorst.
Yeah, but will he win one in Philly, though?
Charles Barkley says if he wins two in Philly, he's the GOAT.
Ooh, he's officially the GOAT? Because that would put him at six, right?
He can't be the GOAT. By simultaneously, Barkley said if he wins two in Philly, he's the GOAT, but he can't be the GOAT because he just stacks every team he plays on.
Ah, okay. Got it.
So amen, he's Brian Windhorst.
GOAT, non-GOAT?
GOAT, non-GOAT.
He's a GOAT, non-GOAT simultaneously.
Probably the non-GOAT, non-GOAT. But if he wins two, he's a GOAT.
But he's not the GOAT, though, because he had to go to a stacked team in order to win?
Fine.
I'm having a hard time seeing the logic here. You know, I'm just trying
welcome
to follow.
Welcome to a 90s basketball pundit. That's how they argue about everything.
Following the pathway here.
I also saw a point yesterday. I thought it was really funny. Basketball is literally the one sport we punish guys who want to win.
Yes, we do.
Is it not odd?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani joined the Dodgers.
Nobody cared.
He's won back-to-back World Series championships, and nobody's like, you front-running jackass. Why would you do that? Also, by the way, illegal gambling. Yeah, we're looking into it. I also think it's hilarious that even if this is the perfect summation of LeBron. He is how old now?
41.
41 years old?
42 in December.
He's played 874 years. I think he started in the NBA when Rutgers won their national championship. That's how long he's been around. And he joins Philadelphia, and we immediately talk about, well, is he going to win a championship? How about Jaylen Brown without Jason Tatum? That's a massive storyline. How about Joel Embiid? Yeah. The trust the process. He played like four games last year. Can he stay healthy?
Yep.
How about Maxey, this young guard who's burst onto the scene as one of the best young playmakers in the NBA? How about this being a moment for them and a pivotal turning point in their careers? This is a cherry on top for LeBron if he wins another one. It'd be fantastic for the league. I don't care about his legacy. His legacy is established. Him getting another one would be cool to see. It's the other guys that have something to earn and still a long runway in their career, maybe other than Embiid, about where they could go and what a championship in Philly would do for their narrative. Like, this is the – if Brown wins one before Tatum in Boston, that is a massive story in the NBA. They decided to part ways with their finals and Eastern Conference Finals MVP for the chosen one who texts Kobe Bryant's dead cell phone. And if he wins a title before you, that is a remarkable turnaround in story.
There we go. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at 7 a.m. Coming up next, some bad and then some good and some bad and some good. We've got local Blazer news. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Rutgers sucks. Welcome back in. 105.1 The Fan. Trailblazers coverage on The Fan presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity swag. Imagine that.
Drip, drip, drip.
Speaking of swag, Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan. With Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA, go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location. Ask them about the only Fan. So good. Only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off.
That's good shit right there.
We have a lot to get to today. We have George Reister at 8:04, so we'll talk college football with him. We got some NFL news and notes as camps are opening up and people are coming in, and we got a trade request at a huge position.
Ooh.
Didn't get to that in the cafes. We'll talk about that a little bit. We will get to the mail sack in the final hour of the radio program, but we must get to the local news here. Of our Trailblazers, will they or won't they?
Ah, they're gone.
Will they or won't they?
Kalamazoo, man. Stealing our team.
Before we get into the reporting from yesterday.
Yes, snip snaps.
Which, I'd argue, the reporter himself was more annoyed at having to do it than you were to having to read it.
Okay? Without a doubt, yeah.
Yesterday, I was perusing, and I said that we had gone to Kansas City to do our due diligence of, hey, any buzz at all about you guys poaching a team? And our guy, Jay Binkley, said, no, not a single word. Nobody here cares. Okay, great. Scratch it off. Kansas City gone, Memphis gone, or Nashville gone, Austin gone, right? Well, then a story popped up over the weekend. I didn't really get to it. St. Louis.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly yesterday because of the owner and the tweet and all that.
So, is St. Louis in? I was going to reach out to St. Louis, and then I caught this blurb on ESPN 101. The host of their morning show had the mayor, Kara Spencer, on and basically asked her, is there an appetite for us to go after an NBA team? I want you to take a listen and give me your thoughts on how she sounds and what you think her thoughts are.
In any good negotiation, you have to have both sides represented. And I did not feel like the city was well representing their financial interest in that particular deal. But do I support the Blues? Absolutely. They have huge returns for the city. I think the taxpayers needed to buy the Jumbotron and that sort of thing. I really didn't. And that's why I was fighting on that. But look, I have to give the Blues credit for fighting for what they believed was right, what they wanted, their best financial interest. We still have a great relationship. We're working right now on some traffic calming and other things around the stadium to make sure that the visitor experience there matches what the quality of the team and our city deserves.
And the Portland Trailblazers in the city of St. Louis getting an NBA team. Is it something that your office monitors?
What's funny is I always thought in my dream world that stadium could serve a dual purpose. At the time when we were looking at those investments, I thought, well, why can't we rethink this whole stadium experience and consider an NBA here as well? So absolutely something that's on the radar, something that would be, I think, a great benefit to St. Louisans. And so keeping my ears to the ground.
What is your takeaway when you hear the mayor of St. Louis there, Kara
Keep
Spencer?
Keep your dirty St. Louis hands off my team is what my takeaway is. Get the hell out of here, St. Louis Sports Talk Radio.
Going down, baby.
It is funny. I've never been to St. Louis before, but I've seen people chime in who lived in St. Louis or are from the area or know the area well. About how a lot of people don't think it's a good NBA market, but that is not what matters in this equation. What matters in this equation is, do you get a deal done locally? And then is there the money and the requirement back in St. Louis and all the things you need in terms of an arena, which it seems like there is, but I don't know enough about their Blues arena and the renovations that they made. But
she was against funding for it, by the way. She was. The beginning of that clip where
I don't know if they rebuilt the entire arena in St. Louis or just parts of it, or they just did the Jumbotron.
I think they did what we did.
It's kind of a facelift of the entire thing.
Yeah.
So then maybe, conceivably it would be. I still think this is much ado about nothing in terms of the team leaving. Mm-hmm. And I think we're overreacting to somebody who him and his father are big business figures in the St. Louis community getting asked a simple question as NBA owner. Do you think basketball would work in St. Louis? And them saying yes. And then in the story, the arena has their dad's or they're both of theirs, but it's named after his dad, I think, the last name on the building. I think it's still much to do about nothing in St. Louis.
So you got to really listen to these people when they talk, and you got to try to find little tea leaves. One, she's already told you she's against public funds for sports teams. She literally started the answer with that. She did not want to give them money for a Jumbotron. How's that going to go? When an owner is currently in our city asking us to give all the monies.
Right.
Right? So, like,
Your arena will last a while, but eventually you're going to need to repair it.
She also comes off to me as somebody that Tom Dundon and her would not be good friends.
No.
So, I just, I'm doing this basically at it may age like milk. I don't think St. Louis is viable. And I think the reporting you got yesterday kind of tells us there really isn't a viable option.
No.
And I think that's the thing I sit in, because Jason Quick yesterday was doing an exceptional job. A little snip, snap, snip, snap. And originally it came out that the Trailblazers were not going to be meeting with the city council at the meeting that they had scheduled at the end of July.
Yeah, Dunphy, the head of the city council, said they said no, we're not getting a meeting.
Said no. Well, fast forward, how long was it? Between
20 minutes,
20
maybe?
Minutes? Yeah.
Less than a half hour.
It felt like it was 5. And we got a new updated story from the Blazers that was like, actually, we are interested.
Yeah.
Dwayne Hankins said, quote, we were just talking to the city administrator staff, figuring out the best way to move forward and show up on Thursday, he told Jamie Dunphy. I said Phil Dunphy. I'm thinking Modern Family too much.
Phil Dunphy is a cooler Dunphy.
He's a cooler Dunphy, yeah. But told Jamie Dunphy that he had been working with old information. On Friday, Dunphy sent the letter to Hankins inviting him to attend the work session with the 12-member council to address the team's concerns about the term sheet delivered by the city. And Hankins, or Dumphy, wrote to Hankins, "I'm reading in the media the Blazers would like to see some changes made to the draft term sheet City provided you last week. It would be extremely helpful if you and your team joined us for the work session to help me and my colleagues understand your needs." Hankins then responded to this, and basically he said, let me see if I find the exact quote, because it's a lot of Dunphy. He said, "I like turn down the rhetoric and not have these conversations in the media, to be honest. It's not helpful. It's not effective. I just want to get a deal done, and this is not the way for us to get a deal done," end quote.
Then tell your anonymous team sources who a week ago were telling Jason Quick that this deal is a complete non-starter and you are the two sides are significantly far apart. How about instead of responding through the media, you respond to the city and say, "This deal is a non-starter. We are a wide ways away apart. Here are the ways we are a far ways apart. Let's work towards coming to a conclusion on this deal."
I think
it was a hilarious response from them. I'm glad that they did respond, but like, come on, man. It was the epitome of the meme of the guy holding the gun, pointing at a dead body, saying, "We're all trying to figure out who did this." You can't come out and say, "Don't negotiate through the media," when some of the negotiating that you've done through the media has upped the rhetoric exponentially.
No doubt, but like, also not wrong. Both sides have been talking through the media anonymously through the whole process. We thought they would. That's kind of what was going to happen here. It's public negotiating before they actually negotiate.
Yes, and the city's defense, though, if you're not getting any responses from the team at all, what else are you supposed to do?
I'm totally fine with the way the city actually has handled this part of it.
Yes.
I've been more like, what are you doing over there at One Center Court? But them responding to that. Now, look, I might be holding on too much in a negotiation situation. But just having it in print, a quote from the current president of the Blazers, "I just want to get a deal done."
A guy who's been there through the regime change, too, by the way. He was the president before and still the president with Dundon.
Well, I mean, he definitely comes off, I think, in the quote, and I'm not saying this is how he actually sounded, but when I read the quote after being told that they weren't going to show up, it's like, fine, we'll be there. Like,
there's a little bit of that, for sure.
A little bit of a tissy there of being all upset. Now, I'd also say this, and I don't have... I'm not trying to do any reporting here. This is just an opinion. The way it rolled out, between 20 minutes of they're not doing it, 20 minutes later, we'll see you Thursday.
And then there was a third update when Dunphy then responded and said, "Yes, indeed, we have heard from the Blazers. Thank you very much."
This is only my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you agree. I don't know if other people have the same thought. Maybe they do on social media, because I didn't see the initial report. I only saw the follow-up where Quick was like, "For the third time, here it is." And then I dove into it.
You missed the high-stepping from the doomsdayers then, because they were all over that thing.
Yeah, I heard
the doomsdayers. Told you the team's gone.
I heard the doomsdayers. They're ready to celebrate the minute that they're announced to leave. And you know what? If they reach a deal, we will be celebrating the opposite side of that.
We will laugh in your face.
Well, that might be happening, yeah. But we'll see if they get a deal done. My opinion was, this has a real smell of the league following this so damn closely that they saw the city.
Very well could be.
The money is being provided. The county gave us great news yesterday, by the way, that like, hey, we want to give the full $88 million. We don't want to subtract $35 anymore. So all the monies is on the table. And I, just my two cents, I think the league got on the horn and said, "The hell, you will not be skipping that meeting. Stop this. You don't have a destination. You're not going to Nashville. You're not going to Austin. You're not going to Kansas City. Columbus is not a real market for us. We're not doing business in Tampa. Stop. Meet."
Yeah.
Now, they need to negotiate, and there's probably a long ways to go still in the negotiation process, but the city, the county, and the state are telling you the money's there. You have the money.
Now we just got to pass it.
Now you got to pass it. You got to work out, you know, unions and taxes and all the crap none of us want to really follow.
Hence the meeting with the city council to figure out where can we find some common ground here to get a deal done.
Exactly. And the reason I believe this, I'll tell you on the other side, because somebody else wrote a piece involving our old Tommy D, Tommy Two Nichols. And so we'll get to that on the other side. But some interesting back and forth yesterday between the city and the organization, but it sounds like after the initial reporting, they are going to meet and sit down and start in the negotiation. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And one thing that somebody is talking about nationally involving the Blazers and Dundon, we'll do it next on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
NFL primetime vibes here, huh? Isn't it?
Bumbling, mumbling, stumbling, bumbling, rumbling, stumbling.
Whoop! Whoop!
All-timer, dude.
I love that show.
All-timer.
Him and TJ.
So good.
TJ. God, ESPN content.
Yeah, not quite the same anymore.
No, everybody gets fired. talking about the Trailblazers meeting with the city coming up this week.
Yeah.
And originally it was a no, and then 20 minutes went by, and suddenly it was a, yeah, let's stop doing this publicly.
We're going to chat on Thursday.
Let's get in a room. I want to read a blurb.
Okay, what do you got?
From old Chris Mannix, our friend at SI.com, covers mm-hmm. the NBA and boxing,
mm-hmm.
a good friend of the program. He wrote a blurb on Tom Dunn. It's actually featured at the front page of SI.com, and it's Tom Dunn and his betting his NHL formula will work in the NBA despite its critics. And he goes through the laundry list of what's happened so far with Dundon. And then he gets to this blurb, and I want to read this to you. By all accounts, Dundon is simply dropping the model from the NHL into a new city in a new league. Make no mistake, NBA officials are embarrassed by all of this. No one wants to see a multi-billion dollar franchise run like a newspaper snapped up by a hedge fund. At Summer League, you couldn't walk far without running into someone with an opinion on Dundon's approach. Even Adam Silver, a vocal supporter of Dundon, appeared frustrated when discussing the stalemate between the Blazers and Portland on the arena funding.
Yeah.
Now he goes on and he says, you know, Dundon isn't probably going to change. He doesn't care that people don't like him.
No, if you didn't want him to do this, don't let him buy the team.
Well, that was my quick initial thought of like, you know what? It took all of 5 minutes for stupid Brandon Sprague to Google that Tom Dundon cuts stuff.
Yes.
And is cheap.
Literally did it in Carolina.
So what did the league have time-wise to figure out maybe this right. wouldn't be good for our league? And I've said this before. I think some teams will follow some of what he's doing.
If the blowback dies down, the deal still ends up getting done, you stay relevant in terms of what you're a playoff caliber. Like,
yes.
Without a doubt, teams will follow this blueprint.
But I don't believe the whole league will.
No.
And I think some teams will pride themselves on telling the clients and the agents and everybody else,
mm-hmm.
we don't do it cheap. We do it the best.
Yeah, some people will even say, we'll illegally pay you in your contract.
Well, you know, you want deep pockets. But I thought that was an important thing. The NBA officials are embarrassed by all this. And that's what goes back to my original point of the 20-minute gap between Quick's reporting of city hadn't heard back. It doesn't sound like the team's going to meet with them to let's stop doing this in public. Let's have a meeting. And I really believe in my heart of hearts, I really think the league got on the horn and was like, we're done
enough.
Here. Stop.
Enough.
Stop playing the games. Get in the room. Negotiate. Figure that out. The city, the county, the state, all of the monies is there.
Yeah.
Let's renovate the arena and move on.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you because all from what we've seen so far and some of the tone that the commissioners use, the idea that neither of us believe that there's a viable market out there, or even the notion that Dundon, despite his jackassery here, is doing this out of the desire to try and move the team. I think there's two very different things. What do we all know about Tom Dundon? We say it constantly. He is cheap. He doesn't want to pay for things. We also know that he is a ridiculously shrewd negotiator. And I don't even know if you can call it negotiating. He just goes radio silent on you. How many people in the organization has he done this with? He's done it with broadcasters. He's done it with coaching candidates. All the way down the list, this is the way that he operates. Mm-hmm. And so him operating this way with the city is not very surprising to me. Raleigh didn't take as long or get as hot to figure this out because I think they got a blueprint pretty early on, like, okay, we're going to have to get this done. We own the arena. Let's just get it done. And then say, here you go, Tom. Here's your money.
They politically were a little more in line with, we need to rent. You're right.
We own the arena.
Renovate.
Like, okay.
It's our only team in town.
It's our money. Yeah. It's our building. We'll spend our money fixing it. Okay, here you go, Tom. And there was a little bit of chatter early on, but then it quickly died down because they passed the funding and they got the arena deal done.
Yeah.
And that ultimately is what our stance has been the entire time, that we will get here. He did this with the head coaching candidate who they waited and waited and waited. He was desperate. There was no other opening. So what did he get him for? A 1-year deal. He's doing this with radio broadcasters. I will we'll cut your pay by 60% and you got to go work for a different company. I'm going to take away your benefit. It's horrible.
It's terrible.
Nobody is condoning the behavior, but it's one of the reasons that I have never fully mentally gone to the place of he's doing this out of a desire to move the team. I just think this
I haven't either.
This is the way he operates. Yeah. He's a jackass when it comes to this kind of stuff. Now, I think Mannix is 100% right, and we talked about it a little bit last week. He is following the blueprint. It worked for him in Carolina, and there is a part of me who says, I don't blame you. If I bought a team, operated it this way, I turn them into a perennial playoff contender, and we just won a championship in the damn sport and hosted up the most valuable trophy or the most prestigious trophy in sports potentially, I don't blame you for thinking that that would work in another sport. Will it in the NBA? Time will tell. None of us have the answer to that question. You could think yes, you could think no, but nobody ultimately knows until it fully plays out. I will just say, I don't really care if it was the NBA stepping in. I don't care if it was the city talking out of pocket and the Blazers responding like, whoa, 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 hold on here. We didn't even respond to you. I don't care what it was. It was just a refreshing feeling last night. Seeing not only the city stuff go down in terms of the Blazers actually willing to sit down and talk with them this week, it sounds like on Thursday, but then the idea earlier in the day, we got great news from the county, dude.
Yeah.
The two county commissioners who were being absolute tool bags at the hearing last week, arguing and ranting and raving and wanting to delay, and the two who, by the way, proposed cutting the
$35 million
dollars cut from the county
from the 88 million
projected from this, have then turned around and now said, not only are we going to do all 88 million, how about we just use it from the car rental taxes instead of taking money from the sale of the team?
Which
right, like, oh, okay. And I did have a chuckle because I pointed this out last week. I watched about an hour of that last week. And it was ridiculous, and I was yelling at my phone the entire time. But one of the things that ironically stood out to me, because football season's on my mind as well, is how much the county has seen an explosion in the car rental tax return, primarily because of my football program and all of the people who were traveling from Purdue, Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, Minnesota,
Ohio State,
Michigan, Nebraska.
Tons
when that happens, they are all flying to Portland, renting cars, driving to Eugene, driving back, flying back. And they have seen an explosion in the amount of tax revenue that they're getting from the car rental tax. And they pointed that out last week. And I made a mental note of that and then chuckled yesterday when I saw their big, brilliant brains came up with the idea of, hey, we got this big pool of money that's getting taxed. Why don't we use all of that? And then we're made a little bit more whole because the sale of the team is netting the county something in the range of $40 to $45 million. And according to this yesterday, which I think will pass by a 4-1 or 5-0 vote,
I think it's going
to
go undefeated.
They're going to keep that tax money. And so now the county's made a little bit more whole. All the concerns about what are we cutting, they're going, like, well done, dude. On both sides, the city and the county, both positive news stories yesterday.
I agree 100% with everything you added there. I don't have much other than, I think an element UI and everybody else who gets frustrated at this ongoing saga from the Dundon Blazer side to the city, county, state side is there's a lot involved we're never going to understand, right? Like pretending you know what it's like to run a $4.5 billion business when you're not the most deep-pocketed owner and have all of these expenses that you walk into of like, hey, we actually have the biggest staff in the NBA and we produce the least amount of money. You don't know what that's like, and I never will.
Nope.
Also on the other side, and I'm not trying to defend too much here, but there's an element of these politicians. Say what you want about all of them. They do have constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of these districts, it's pretty easy to find on the internet. You get these people who are like, to hell with this team, to hell with sports, it's not important, who cares, stop taking money. And like, you have, I mean, you're serving a district, you have to hear from your constituents.
It is a very split topic in the city, about 50-50 on spending or not spending.
It is, but like, so I give them a little grace in that regard. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the delay on the vote from the county from last week into 2 weeks, but seeing that yesterday, and I saw that from Wright, Gazaway, and I think other people had it too, but I saw it from Wright, is just simply like, okay, great. They got information very quickly. The numbers were broken down to them. They saw where they're going to get money from taxes on this and that. And yeah, man, it's not pretending that building a $2 billion state arena for a team will net you $8 billion. I know the financial economics that have been put out about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's about renovating a building that you currently own while trying to generate business back up in a city that, for better or worse, and I love it, I always will, has lagged.
Yeah.
And so I want to get rid of lease signs. We were third in real estate in 2019. I think we're in the 80%.
Not good.
an 80% tile. Like,
there's
not
this
very
weird
good.
Back and forth. Whereas this, their premise of the city is dying, and then if you see that report, the pushback of the city is thriving, and it's like, well, no, the city's not dead.
It's an in between.
It's also not thriving.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We have a lot of work to do in order to get there. We're not dead yet, but the Blazers moving would kill us.
And you don't have to love him. You never probably will. But like, there's an element of having a Tom Dundon where I think the dude wants to make money and he's shrewd.
Yeah.
That if he can get them to win a little bit more than they had the previous five seasons. Guess what will start to get better? More money will be dumped into the city. More people will visit. You'll get more Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon, Southern Oregon. People will drive up maybe for a weekend and say, hey, Wimby's in town. I'm going to go to the Spurs game, have a weekend up there, and drive back Sunday night. Like, that stuff starts to happen more and more. And so, like, all of this has sucked to cover, to follow. I'm sure it's been terrible to report on from the media side.
Yes.
But yesterday was good news to me. Like, we do this jokey counter of how many days since good news or bad news or whatever it is, one.
It has to be. Yeah, the zero's got to come off the board.
We got good news yesterday.
Zero's got to come off the board.
So encouraging news. Just wanted to pass along. Good reporting by Quick and everybody else in the market. I did find one comment very funny from a media member.
Mm-hmm.
So the Demers TV broadcast side.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful what's going on there.
It's horrible, dude.
Somebody, you know what somebody texted me yesterday? A picture of a guy that was just let go for stooping a player's sister and said, who would be cheaper?
That's a great point. I did not even think about
Dundon, line one, guy that needs to fix reputation and still have a play-by-play gig. That Spurs guy.
I mean, people tell me that we like reclamation projects after John Morant.
I'm just
saying. Are we going to do it with broadcasters
keep
too?
Keep it on the radar.
Okay,
right up Tommy Two Nickels' MO of saving money.
I'll hold on to that one.
Loaded third hour of the radio program. We'll talk some college football, NFL, but we kick it off. And it's a Mail Sack Tuesday as well. We kick off hour three with George Reister. One of our favorites, former Duck, media member now, Big Ten Media Day is here. George Reister, hour three at 105.1 The Fan.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.